Took a while. I'm speaking from Yeshiva. The computer took a while to warm up. I know, see, how are you? Okay. We're holding here in Paskesis, obviously. And the first piece speaks about the inyan of why is there a negev when you have, when you count people? What is it about counting that creates the potential for a magefa? So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, "Begiluchah kasuv ki ha'om hanifrat b'minyanei kol echad legalgaloisam, hinei hu mushkach ba'ashkoches ala, v'chol ma'isam nifrat lefanav, v'oz yochla negev." What happens in these cases is that you have a hashkocha specific to the person as opposed to being part of a klal. In other words, the klal of Klal Yisrael is good. The klal of Klal Yisrael has chusim, because, and I guess I could, we could say it this way: the common denominator of Klal Yisrael as a klal is toiv. The averis is each person's own averis. Occasionally, there are mass averis, like Klal Yisrael went after the Baal, Klal Yisrael went after that, and then becomes a terrible einish. But generally speaking, what makes us common, what's common to all of us, is the toiv, and what is individual to us is the ra. And b'meila, as long as a person sticks to the klal, a person is going to be in a good place. But once each person becomes singled out, so when I count the people, it means I need to deal with each individual as an individual. Then we start going into problems. He asked her, "Is there special bakasha I can do to the melech for you?" And which meant HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And she answered, "Betoch ami anochi yosheves." I'm like everybody else. Kloma, what does she mean? Eini roitzes tisfal b'shminot ha'melech or sar tzava. I don't want that you should intervene on my behalf by the king or the sar tzava. Mutably sheyeh nyanin nichlal b'chal rabim lo nifretes penei anish. I'd rather be part of a klal than try to be a yachid. V'yedua k'oisem shekosu boi v'yeh ayoyim ozo sheshon ahoyah. V'mikan roi ois ayoyim shekol boi oylem oivu lefanik le'moran sheyeh ma'din v'pkudas oynash lo'oylem l'espachek v'lidek boi kivin shekol yochid nifrat ha'mais v'fot l'ish k'dak v'pim alola. Rosh Hashanah is a day of a special daiga, because each person is singled out individually. Each person is singled out, and he is taken as a yochid. And it says in Chazal that they go in one by one, and therefore that's the special pachad of that day. This is, by the way, an inyan that a lot of Balei Musar in Kelm, they did not, the hanhala did not get an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, because they didn't want to stand out. The in the mirror, Blaise Yudel he was caught between a bind. On the one hand, he wanted to keep this minhag. On the other hand, it says in halacha that a person should try to get an aliyah in Aseres Mitzvah. So he would always take shlishi of Shabbos Mincha, Naseres Mitzvah. That was his standard aliyah these days. So he kept the Kelma Minag, but he also was Mekayim the Halacha that during these days a person should try to get an aliyah. Reb Chaim Shlomitz had a big shmuz on this. Chaim Shlomitz's shmuz was that people need to be very careful, very cautious when they start acting not like the tzibur. So people who go off and learn their own things, even if they think they're doing it for to learn better, they end up worse. He had a whole bunch of points about that. He spoke about the people who kept with the yeshiva during the war years were all saved. People who tried to get out on their own, they had their own things, were killed. he would make, it was like a mansion, that a person needs to be part of the tzibur. And anyone who goes off the tzibur, and he would finish off, when a person goes off to himself and does his own thing, that's when the Tzahara comes and tries to overcome him. It's so apropos to people's tainus on the yeshiva world, that they, the great Gevaldike Gaonim, that Yechid HaDor never came out of yeshivas, that might be true. But the flip side of that is that the vast majority of people went to yeshivas came out Talmidei Chachamim, Mufloggim, Yireim, Shleimim. So it's not the pshat that it's a better system when you don't have a rabbim. It's a much, much more dangerous system. So therefore, there's a trade-off between there's a certain safety numbers, and before a person decides that he's going to become a yachid or encourage people to become yachidim, he needs to bear this in mind. Okay, the next piece is Ramban, very different topic, totally. He speaks about the musig of machzis ha-shekel v'shekel ha-kodesh. What exactly is shekel ha-kodesh, the holy shekel? What are the holy shkolim? Machzis ha-shekel v'shekel ha-kodesh. Kovel ha-meshabedim ha-tbeah kesev Yisrael. He created a coin. The shekel was a coin that Moshe Rabbeinu, as a king, kimel ha-kodel ha-ya. Bekara matbeah ha-hu shekel. He called it shekel. Bavur shekol ha-matbeah b'mishkel shalom em b'tochas like kesef sigim. In other words, shekel means a weighed amount. A coin has a specific weight of silver, and that's something that he needs to have and hold on and so on. Ubavur shemishkelei ha-erech n'pidna p'chor matbeah hu shem kodesh. Why is it called kodesh? Because all the inyanim of kedusha that require money, which is erchin, pinyan b'chayer, you need to use this. So there's a called kodesh. B'chein kol shikla mishnah kol kasev kasev b'teira yikorah kasev shekel kodesh. So anything that because this coin is used for religious purposes, therefore it is called kodesh. That's the way he describes it. Now Ramban says, why is if Hebrew called Loshna Kodesh? Shumipnei shedivrei Torah vanevuos v'chol divrei kedusha kulam b'loshna unemru, being that all davar shebekedusha was said in Hebrew, so Hebrew is a Loshna Kodesh. It would mean let's understand the difference in the meaning. Shekel HaKodesh could mean the shekel is holy, or it could mean the shekel that is used for Kedusha. Loshen HaKodesh could mean that the source of the Loshen is Kodesh, or could mean the Loshen that's used for Kedusha. Loshen HaKodesh tolerates both of them. Whether for or from would both be correctly written that way. Shekel HaKodesh could mean from Kedusha, it's sort of a holy minting place, and this is where it comes from. Or Shekel HaKodesh would mean the shekel that is to be used for Kodesh, for all holy activities. The Ramban picks the latter as the correct meaning. B'chein atar metzim asher v'sinu k'rin lo shater lo shna kodesh. So this is the language used for Kedusha. B'meil we call it Loshna Kodesh. V'hinei hua Loshna Shakadosh Baruch is ala shmei medaba b'neviyim adosei. It's the language that a Kadosh Baruch communicates with Neviyim. Anocha b'leil choshad dibur sefer b'nevua. U'boi nika b'shmois v'akdoishim keila l'kim tzvokoi shakai yudkei shem agolam yuchod. U'boi bar elome b'kori shem ha-shamayim v'aretz chal shabom malachav ha-tzvok. So all of these are the this is the language that was used in order to communicate in every what way, with Malachim, with Klal Yisrael, etc., etc. I want to talk a little bit about this and explain this point. What does it mean? This is the language of Kadosh Baruch Hu used to communicate with Klal Yisrael, with Malachim, and so on and so forth. It's hard exactly to fix the word language on it. So let's try to explain what we mean by language, and it's an important point in understanding this whole concept. Let's take a mashal from someplace else. Imagine, it's like when you have these bottles of soda, or liquid, whatever it is, and you want to ship it internationally. You're shipping it in America and shipping it to Europe. So each country requires you that you label that you label the product with the size and ingredients, etc. So you have one way, it says 1 quart, and then on it it says 0.xxy liter. And then you have other bottles that say 1 liter, and then it says 0.xxy quarts. So you can translate quarts into liters into quarts, never precise, never exact, close, because you say to yourself where it's coming from. It's fascinating. You know, there had been a push for a long time that that America should go onto the metric system. So it makes a lot of sense. It's a much, much easier system. It's much more universal today and so on. But the problem was, I think the biggest expense, so yes, you have to switch all the signs and so on, fine. But the real issue was the things like screws are built to fit holes. In America, there's 3/4 of an inch, 1/8 of an inch, 1/6 of an inch, etc. In Europe, it's centimeters, millimeters. They don't fit exactly. To redo that would be an incredibly expensive, mind-boggling expensive thing, and it just doesn't work. Can you make a point something or other inch to get a centimeter? Yes, you can, but it's not a comfortable fit. It's not like a 2-to-1 ratio. It's a fraction ratio, which is very difficult. So we have a relationship of language to ideas. Let's go closer to home a little bit. Different cultures have different sense of things, different feelings of things. All of us in the listening are bicultural in the sense that minimally we're familiar with Kedusha, Torah, Lashon Kodesh, except with Kedusha, Torah, and Kinyanim, and we know what those terms mean and are. And then we're familiar with American culture and American terms and so on. Anytime you take a musig, let's say covet, So the type of covet that we have to honor is to us a very different type of word. It comes with a different set of associations. Honor, you honor somebody at the dinner, you make a little monument to honor somebody. The honor of deferring, of reverence, not quite the same. And translating kavod into honor is a very, very clumsy translation. It works, but not terribly well. It doesn't give over the sense and feel for it. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us his Torah, his perspective, his everything that he wants us to know and to understand, etc., the question is, which language expresses it best? And the answer to that is, Lashon Kodesh is that language. So it's just like when you write a contract and you translate it into another language, there usually will be some sort of specification which language is the Ikka language and which language was the translation, so that when you're haggling over it in litigation, you can say, well, it's the English version that trumps. You might be right that Norwegian, it sounds a bit like this, but it is the English version that is going to be Kovea. And in the English version, it definitely reads this way or that way. So every type of, so when we talk about Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, the ideas of Kedusha, of Torah, of Tov and Ra, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to convey to the Bria, the language that he chose for that is Lashon Kodesh. And therefore, the closest home description and association of Tov and Ra is that. By the way, I just want to remark something. You know, when people talk about Sodom and Amora, so, you know, the language got messed up. So this guy said, I want a brick. This guy gave him a piece of wood. This guy gave him this. The other thing, that's not the real distortion of language. I mean, nouns are easy to translate. It doesn't take all that much to translate a noun. So all you need is Google Translate. And I'm sure they had Google Translate, no problem. And you translate from noun to noun. But the more subtle and more difficult part becomes when you're translating an idea, an ideal. Justice sounds very different to a Russian, to an Arab, to a Jew, to an Israeli. It's just a word that has a different sense to it. Everyone agrees that you need justice, but is justice the total absolute dictate from above? Is it litigation from below and somebody sort of refereeing? It meant two different things. That's the real battles are, but things like that mean different things. Okay, then he says, V'rabba b'mor nevuchim, al tasha shingashen l'shen ha-kredesh l'gavoteno to'olot, olitoteno. Don't think Lashon Kodesh is something that, you know, like everybody holds their culture and their language to be Kodesh. Avuhu bedin. It's objectively true. Kizeh ha-Lashon Kodesh le'imotza b'yishemes le'iva b'ilo b'zochay b'nekeva. You don't have any nouns for a varim. V'loy le'tipo le'shetin le'tzoya rak b'kinoi. Everything is just a sort of euphemism or a borrowed term and so on. V'al yito is ha-shegel ki u'shem isha m'smenes de'mishko v'omei ish'galena v'ashenach v'lo v'isho yikach isha l'pilegish. Now, that's the Rambam, that's the Rambam Rozor Vuchim. V'hini says, ein tzorach l'tam hazeh k'adova borer shaloshim kredish kadoshim k'mosh barashti. He says this tam is not needed. The reason is the way he said that this is the language that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used for Inyan Shebekdusha. About Tam Shehiske al Daiten and Emes. I don't think he's right. Kimashi Yichanish Galenish Gaveno Yerik Mishal Shem Etzel Bila. The way the Pasuk uses it, it seems to me that this is the noun itself, not a euphemism. Bechein Yakeno Lechos Harehem Ki Hushem Iguna. V'im if they timers are Rav. If it would be the way Ram described it, you see there are words for it that you really borrow Lashon Nekiah. So it's also Ramban's argument, and he holds that they are nouns, and the Rambam's not right there. I have a bit of a different ha'ara on the Rambam. Let's take an example in common usage. Every single person, every single setting, every family, we have various euphemisms for things we don't want to talk about. So, you know, like company, bathroom stuff, et cetera, et cetera. So there's always a process where something becomes a euphemism, and then from being a euphemism, it ends up becoming the dominant term, and then that becomes a dirty word, and then we have to look for another euphemism. In other words, something being a sort of an associative description is a start of a process, but that morphs into the permanent word. It's like nicknames. It's like language is a living entity. And yes, we say Lashon Kodesh is not, but that's begging the question, because He's speaking about, is Lashon Kodesh Miuchad or not? And the fact that in Lashon Kodesh you have all of these euphemisms, but once they became, the word Bia, okay, so technically it may not mean that act specifically, but today that's what it's become. Because once we started using that term in that way, that's what it means. And if somebody says it, you know, in polite company, he would get whacked for it. Because the word has stopped being a euphemism, it's become a specific term. So I'm not sure exactly where I was coming from. But Akoponim, the now, at one certain Moshe Shapiro, a Hezban, this Rambam, not the Nakuda we asked, but a different Nakuda, he explained it, why it's Kaddish. It's not just because it doesn't have any dirty words. You know, like as you said, you can always, as I said, you can always invent dirty words. The Pshat is every language is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in order to express ideas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that, and that's how it is. Those items that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want expressed, there are no words for it. In other words, the language is a tool cast specifically by the demands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this language contains only words that express ideas that Adam is meant to express. And that's why there's no shema etzem for these things. So it's not because there are no dirty words, so it's a holy language. It's a holy language because it's tailor-made for Koach HaDibur and does not contain in itself any terms that are hefech of what Dibur should be. One more piece. This is a piece of Rebbeinu Bechaya. And he speaks about the inner machtis ha-shekel. Why machtis ha-shekel? So, you know, everyone is very acquainted with machtis, half, chalis, everybody needs the other half. You know, this is the type of things that he says a very different point. Al derech ha-seichel. Derech ha-seichel, by the way, the Rebbeinu Bechaya has different levels of pshat that he brings. Al derech ha-pshat and dikduk. Al derech ha-chazal, that's medrash. Al derech ha-chavus ha-nis, that's Kabbalah. And Aderech HaSeichel means philosophy, machshava, however you want to call it. Why not a complete shekel? Let's explain the difference, what he means. Let's give a mashal. A person can buy bread as one serving. So he buys a roll, a bagel, or whatever it is, it's a one-serving unit. It doesn't need any machshava on our part, how, what, when, where. Each one unit is it, and that's it. When you have a whole loaf of bread and you have to slice bread, you need to ask yourself, how much bread do I need? How many slices? How thick each slice? And so on. There's a weighing and a measuring that I need to do in order to take as much as I need and it's good for me and so on. Even giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires that a person weigh and measure. It's not lamashal, a type of attitude. I give all my money for tzedakah, period. That shows a lack of a use of the midah of weighing and measuring. No seichel, no input. A person needs seichel and das. This is how much money I have. How much of it do I need for myself? How much of it can I give? How much should I give? Weighing and measuring, and not just automatically passing down a complete unit, is avodas Hashem. That's why the Rambam says, the Marshal, that a person should not squander all his money on tzedakah. Famous Chazal, a person can't be machrim all of his nechassim. He says, Ella, he should be mekayim the pasuk of mechalkel dvarav b'mishpat tamid. A person is always weighing and measuring, and using reason to proceed. So a person needs to have that mahalach of weighing and measuring to know how much, what, when, where, how. Anytime you divide something, it requires weighing and measuring your part. Person needs to have the level of kavana. He needs to be mishtadl for his physical needs in line with what is what will be best for spiritual needs. She came at Sina Biakma Vina, she stabbled be Iske and Nefesh, Abbas, Shana, she shimmed his Ava. We stabbled be Iske, Guf, Babet, Sahima, Abbas, Shana Gamke, she knows she loved him. With Tarot's Gosser is a high mice to tell us that she sickly, she marches a shekel. Roy, she la shame, Hashem, Kishko, Mice, Police of Kulum, the Halkim der Hashok, and Mashavella. So splitting it means first needs to weigh and measure. What do I need to keep my body going well? What do I need for my neshama? And a portion accordingly. So shekel akodesh, the way he explains it, means a weighing of kedusha, weighing and measuring each and every piece. How much do I need and what? I always tell over a story of somebody. Was Adam Godland, Reb Chaim Kamil's Ben Bracha was the Chashvus Dinaman of the Mir when I came. And he was a Masmid Nifla, sat and learned Salav, his storm went tremendous and snap. And he went as the Shlemis to himself. So I was learning with Chavrusa, who was a very big Masmid, overdid it a bit, was pale and, you know, didn't sleep and didn't eat. And his parents were going to come for a visit. It was like the 9 days. And Chaim Kamil was petrified that they would take one look at him, they would take him back to America, they wouldn't let him stay. So he walks over to him in the middle of second Seder, and he says, Moving, he had a stroll. He pulls over Shmuel, it was named Tavrovitz, I forgot his name, it will come to me in a second. He asks him, tell me, he looks pale to you, doesn't he? So he said, yeah. He says, so it's mutafim didn't meet in the 9 days. You say so, and yes. So he takes him down, and he forced him to be washed, and he pulled out a bag of chicken livers, roasted livers, that he prepared. He felt that would give him iron, whatever. It was quite expensive. And Chaim Kamil was a poor person. You know, didn't have, he was a man, and the kids are, over his protest, he forced him to eat the whole thing. Then he took out two apples and gave him apples. I guess he thought that that's also good. Whatever. When he finished, he says to him, if you don't mind, I'd like to have the plastic bag back, the sakit. Zaitaze good to sakit. Now, spending the money to buy him food so that he shouldn't look undernourished, so that he should look at his hands, That's a big maaser, but the maaser about Godel is the liver and the apples is that's what I'm giving. There's no reason to throw out the bag, even if it's worth a nickel. And that mishkel of being able to weigh the different parts of it is an incredible sign of a person that's an avodah zakeidish, a shekel akeidish, like he says, not just okay. Blow it. There's no blowing it. There's weighing and measuring what needs to be given, what needs to be done, what needs to be held. There are no midas tovas, even if they're good midas, that when seichel loses control over it, that they remain tight. So the giving is a tremendous midah, but when it's all done constantly with seichel and thought, then it becomes extraordinary. Okay, we'll hold it here.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
Sure. Who's this?
This is David Mirsky.
Yes, David.
Hi. On the first Nakuda, the Rabbi was discussing about the Yachid and the Rabbin.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, I'm not, like, I feel like a lot of the boys, a lot of the, you know, it's like a big challenge to tell them to be part of the Rabbim. I feel like everybody's trying to single themselves out.
So it's something I spoke about in recent, I spoke about 2 weeks ago in Baltimore. You know, are we cookie cutters or three ring circus? Like everybody, if you would walk into shul, and one guy would be dressed like a Taimani, one guy would be dressed like an Orthodox, and one guy would be dressed like a Safnul Chassid, one guy would look like a Chabadnik, and one guy would look like a Brisket. We think it's a weird assortment of people. The individuality of each person, it's just like a good marshal would be like the army. Good, everybody goes to boot camp. Everybody does basics exactly the same. But the question now is, what specific unit do you belong to? So you express your individuality in two ways. One, in your das and chachma, especially in learning, the way you understand the Gemara, the way you approach a problem, all of those nekudas and inyanim, each person is miyuchad. And if I knew that I found myself in what I think by davening, not what I look like, which hat I wear. Myself is the way I understand learning, not where the first day starts 9 and 9:30 at 10. But all of those in Yanim, then I'd be a different person. Then I would understand why I uniquely understand and feel a situation. That's one. Second area is in Lefnim Meshuras Hadin. L'mashal, if a person has a, you know, it says, Gemara says, a whole list of Megillah, so everybody gives a different school. So what's the pshat? You know, if everyone had a different school and none of them work, then it's a fluke. It's like if you interview 100 people who live long, one guy says he drank orange juice, one guy says he smoked cigarettes, the third guy says he ate chocolate, the fourth guy said he ate soybeans. So basically it's worthless. It means nothing. So what does it mean each one's rach? The answer is each person has something that's miyuchadet. So Reuven is somebody who can get things done. So when something has to be done, he needs to volunteer more than other people because he can get it done. Shimon is somebody that can sit and learn. So even when the Beis Medrash is empty and everybody's gone off to do whatever they do, he should be sitting and learning because that's where his yichud is. Instead of looking at my individuality to cop out of the commonness, I need to look at individuality, where do I need to do more? So yes, everybody can daven 5 minutes per Nesser. I need to do 15 minutes. And obviously it has to be really what you should be doing. But on Kapanim, the individuality should be realized, A, on the level of Das and Kavana, B, in what you're called on to do more than everybody else, not less than everybody else. Every soldier has to salute. Every soldier has to obey commandments. Every soldier fits into a certain common denominator. And then the question is, what unit am I? Computer unit, intelligence, missile, marine, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess like the Matzah Sashekel, you have to say it.
Yes, correct. There's no Torah from... there was a certain young man from in Eretz Yisrael that I spoke to who asked me about, you know, being your own person. So that, and I told him, you know, for 3 years, a person has to be normal. Then he could say, so you mean I have time to be mature yet? So I told him, yes, that's a very, very good definition. So I'll go upon him... I like that. He said, you mean I have time to be crazy? I said, yes, perfect. Very, very good summation of what I said. Okay.
Okay, very good.
Go ahead. A Freilich and Purim to everybody.
Freilich and Purim.
Bye. Freilich and Purim.